Now for planet Earth. And in winter, the sea might look dull, grey and lifeless, but the creatures that live there know that some areas have far more food than others. Fish are particularly fond of ocean fronts, where masses of warm and cold water meet, as these tend to contain large quantities of plankton. Planet Earth's Richard Hollingham has been to see Plymouth Marine Laboratory's Peter Miller.
In the atmosphere, you get warm and cold air meeting. It's similar in the ocean. You get a big mass of cold water meeting warmer water. And along that dividing line, you get mixing processes. And that mixing can keep nutrients coming to the surface. And that gives rise to plankton blooms. And it keeps the plankton growing for longer. Those are the areas where fish and larger animals have learnt to find better foraging opportunities.
So you're studying these ocean fronts. What are you looking at?
We use satellites that are orbiting the Earth every day to map out the sea surface temperatures. And over the years, I've developed algorithms to automatically pick out and combine the locations of those fronts. So even though most of the ocean is covered by cloud, we can piece together a view of where these fronts are and simplify them so that you can see one line, and then we can relate those positions to where the animals are.
And what sort of animals are we talking about here? You mentioned fish.
Yeah, we've been studying animals from fish, basking sharks, dolphins, seabirds, all of the top marine predators like seals, turtles. It's surprising how many animals and how many scientists we've found who are interested in relating where their animals are to these productive frontal zones.
And one of the scientists doing that work is a PhD student at the Plymouth Marine Laboratory, Kylie Scales, who's also with us on the rocks. What animals are you looking at?
So I have been using satellite animal tracking data to look at the movements of grey-headed albatrosses in the Southern Ocean, the northern gannet in the Celtic Sea, and loggerhead turtles in the Mauritanian upwelling region. Just some of the species that potentially might be targeting their foraging effort in frontal zones.
And some of the species, I mean, they're pretty exotic places around the world, but some of the species around the coast here include some of these big fish like basking sharks.
Yeah, so the basking shark is the second largest fish in the world. They range between an average of 2 to 5 metres, and we frequently see them around the British coast, particularly around hotspots in the Isle of Man and around Cornwall. They forage primarily on zooplankton, so these areas where you get enhanced zooplankton abundance, like frontal zones, could be really significant features in the foraging seascape of basking sharks.
And these are really curious-looking creatures, because, as you say, they are massive. But they just, their head is this enormous mouth, and even though they're massive, they're just eating zooplankton.
That's right. Their primary foraging strategy is really just to swim along near the surface where you get enhanced zooplankton abundances, with their mouths wide open, and hoover up anything that might be in their path.
And the point of this, Peter, is to relate these ocean fronts to conservation.
Yes, what we've been able to do is, with evidence that we're building, such as Kylie's PhD, about the importance of these frontal zones to different animals, we can then start to use fronts as a proxy for increased abundance or diversity of animals like dolphins and sharks and seabirds. For the UK effort to set up new marine protected areas, we were able to feed our data on the distribution of fronts, and that's been used quite widely in the project to set up the boundaries of these protected areas to ensure that they conserve some of these pelagic animals.
So understanding where these are, how they move, it's quite a big deal, really.
It is, and now that we've done the work for the UK, we're now collaborating with American scientists to look at the open ocean, because there's a lot of concern about how difficult it is to conserve the marine life out in the wide ocean, and efforts are underway to start to piece together data that can allow the most important areas of the ocean to be protected.
Peter Miller from Plymouth Marine Laboratory, and you can read a full list of those conservation issues on Planet Earth Online, where you can also find the latest Planet Earth podcast.